are affected, and how every part of your body is a gate and an entrance. Just think about one part. Let's say your body. The Bible says if you lie down with a harlot, you will be one with a harlot. That's a gate. That's where now the body is. Sometimes during deliverance, when we pray for people, you find that the soul is somewhere else, but the body is here. Okay, that was too quick. Have you ever heard the phrase where someone says, you are walking dead? This person, they don't look like they are alive. The eyes is the window to their soul, but their eyes, especially when you have that deadly flu, you look like you are going. Like paradise or hell is calling your name. And then when the person starts getting better, the dark circles under their eyes, or the dark marks under their eyes, and even their eyes, they start glowing. Have you seen that? Yes? No? Okay. Thank you. That part, it looks like the soul had left the body. It went into another realm. Or it has entered another gate that we do not know of. So there are times when you speak to a person when you're doing deliverance that you find that it's like the person can't hear you. Then you have to ask, because we don't know the person's name, we ask, what is this person's name? They tell us, and then we call that person by their name, say, come back to the body. And then the soul or the spirit man will come back into the body. And the person will confess and say, I felt like I was dying. They've entered a certain gate in the realm of the spirit. In the spirit, there's a lot of roads and channels, like your N1s, R37s and R71s. So, sometimes when a person is out of body experience, like how Paul said, I don't know whether I was in the spirit or was in the flesh. He is somewhere where he doesn't know the address or the location of that place, but that place is in the spirit realm. You have entered a spiritual gate. I want us to understand this. Some people, it takes them longer when they are praying for them to enter, in simple terms, heaven. I don't want to complicate it. In simple terms, they find it difficult to enter heaven. Then they will say, I was praying for 8, 10, 20, 15 hours. And then somebody will just say, Father, and then they are in the presence of the Lord. They've entered a different gate. When the church is worshiping and praising the Father, they are opening up a gate of worship. Revelation, healing, whatever human nature needs, it starts flowing from that throne of grace into the people. Why? Because the gate is open. I will enter your court with thanksgiving. And I will enter your gates with praise. Which gates are those ones? Psalm 22, verse 3, please. If I don't read the scripture, somebody will say they were not a church. You know, like how we our brothers, we go to a funeral, and then we have to take a picture of the program to show that we were at a funeral. Okay, let's read. Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy. O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of your people Israel are offered. Thank you. I want to be like Joshua. I want to hold the sun so that time doesn't go. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. The body is worldly conscious. How do I look? What will they say about me? How do they receive me? We have the soul, which is self-conscious. Say, how do I look? Did I say that right? And then we have the spirit, which must be godly conscious. Meaning, if the Spirit of the Lord were to walk in this room, the Spirit has to pick up that the Lord is here. Body, soul, spirit. Sometimes when you're worshipping, your body starts to make certain movement that you are not used to. Sometimes when you are listening to music, it is called soul music. The dangerous part of the conscious, subconscious, and the unconscious mind. One guy said, if you want to transfer something to the people, put it in a music. Because music doesn't cause you to think. It causes you to move in rhythm. But if you take the same words and put them in a book, no one will read them. So that is why I chose that Psalm 22. Because it talks about how the element of praising has to come. So when we praise the Father, we open this realm, a gate that He must come into us. Nothing on this earth spiritually can be allowed to work in you and I as long as we allow it. Let me say it again for those who are sitting at the back. For one to have a wicked spirit or a godly spirit, there must be an allowance that must take place. You see, in the beginning, God was for us all. He made rain to rain on the poor and on the rich, on the healthy and the unhealthy. He made rain to rain on everyone. Then we move to the dispensation of Jesus Christ, where Emmanuel, God, was with us. Because first He was in heaven, and He was for us all. Then He sent Jesus, then God was with us. Then we move to the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, where God is in us. Thank you for that amen. Worldly conscious, self-conscious, godly conscious. So today as we go into our families, let us be conscious of the presence of the Lord in our homes. On that other Monday, I said, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now the question is, in our families, are we serving the Lord? And I gave a practical example. I said, when a visitor comes into your home, especially if they are coming for more than 2 days, don't change your prayer pattern if you have one. Tell them, in this house, we wake up by 6 o'clock and we do devotion and we pray and we praise the Lord. That's what is keeping our business. That's what is keeping our children. That's what is keeping our marriage. That's what is keeping our careers and everything that involves us. Our cousins, the one that Abraham made a child first, our cousins, Ishmael. Go to their shop on Friday at 12 o'clock. Tell me if you will buy anything. Whatever you will buy, I'll pay you back every Friday for that. Whatever that you bought, I'll give you the money every Friday. You will never be able to buy in that shop. So what is happening in our families? Why is there a compromise? Why are we too busy for the Father? What sort of prayer altar or the altar of God did you raise in your house? Can your altar speak for you even when you are not in the house? Let me give you a biblical example. Abraham, many years back, I'll use Abraham as an example because he's our father. I mean, the faith that we have because of Abraham. And Jesus came that he may be the author and the finisher of our faith. But it started with Abraham. Okay? Abraham built an altar. He built a physical altar. And then generation to come, his great-grandchild, Jacob, came and slept where the altar was. He didn't know that was Abraham's altar. But he slept there. And when he slept there, there was a ladder from heaven to earth. And the angels came. Now the altar was speaking because it recognized a bloodline of Abraham, to say the one who sacrificed and who was a holy unto the Lord, who was a friend of God, I recognize this child that comes from that generation. And that's when heaven opened the gate and the angels came down. So when our praises go up, his glory comes down. It's a gate of exchange. I have an internal joke with my friends. I tell them when I go to Joburg, when I pass the first toll gate, I greet them in Sepedi, because they are still in Limpopo. When I pass the second one, I greet there by the toll gate in Sepedi. Once I start getting to the third toll gate and the fourth, I'm speaking in Zulu now, because I'm entering another gate. Then you'll see the stone written, "Welcome to Gauteng." It's a gate. So, what have we learned so far? My body is a gate. It has entrances. I'll give you the top three. I don't want to cover all of them. One, you have the eye gate. You have the ear gate. You have the mouth gate. There are other gates. I'm not covering them. That's why Job made a covenant. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes so that I may not look towards another woman lustfully. So, the ear gate is where Satan plays a lot. He plays here. So what you hear enters here. And then it comes out here. So it enters your ear, goes into your heart, and then it comes out of your mouth. In the absence of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth gate, David said, Lord, put a hand on my mouth that I may not speak harshly or hastily. That I may not, the Bible says, do not make a vow. Do not be too quick to make a vow, because you cannot even make your hair grow. So when you make a vow, make sure that your mouth gate is making a real vow. We're learning. We have learned about the gates, how they come, how to take care of my body. So when the Lord says, be holy as I am holy, give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and this is your reasonable service unto the Lord. He wants to have a gate. Let me talk about a more exciting gate. You have people that are gates of evangelism. Some are gates of prophetic. Some are gates of worshippers. So, how do they hold heaven in them as a gate? When you get next to them, you just see yourself wanting to sing. Saul was sent by Samuel and said, you'll find the cows on that side. And when, because he was with somebody who had a gate open from heaven, who was in the form of a prophet, Samuel, then Saul started to prophesy. But he wasn't a prophet. But the gate of prophecy was open to him. So as a family, how do we keep guard of this gate in our family? We commit to meditation, reading of the word, pray, and bringing up our children in the way the Lord has instructed us. Don't worry about God solving your problem. Focus on God. Pastor, are you saying I must just be stupid and not solve my problem? No, get the wisdom from God, from the gate that you've opened for Him. He will give you wisdom on how to solve that problem. I was in church when I was in Westenberg and I was ministering, and the Lord came through with His word and He said, there's a young lady who's not coming to church because she's ashamed that she's pregnant. But I see a problem with that pregnancy, that if she doesn't come and she's not prayed for, her and the baby might die. So there was a gate that was open for me prophetically to hear that word correctly. I'm coming. I called for her. She came. We prayed. We believed God that the delivery will be seamless. She passed 9 months. She didn't deliver. She went to the 10th month. I was panicking. Can you imagine? I'm the one who called her. No, come here, let me pray for you. I have an anointing. And then she comes. she can't give birth. She had no labor pains. There's this thing that doctors call inducing. So they wanted to induce her because she couldn't afford to do a cesarean process. She didn't have money. So when they wanted to induce her, they realized in the injection they want to use, there is a, what do I call it? There's an item in the injection, the ingredients of that injection. There is something she's allergic to. Now she can't give birth. Now she can't be induced. She doesn't have money for cesarean. What do we do? But because of the gate which was opened and the prayer that was offered, God created a way of an escape. Someone somewhere said there was an old or not so much used method of a pill instead of an injection. Doctors, help me. Correct. Then they checked the ingredients of the pill or capsule and they realized the ingredient that is in the injection is not in the pill. Then they gave it to her. Today, the child is running around in this church. But if you don't create a gate for the Lord to come, He won't come. He has no place in our hearts and in our homes. And He needs to have that place. Hence He said, at the door of your heart, I am knocking. Let me in. I know I've suffered this problem before. This is my last point. Sometimes you say, Pastor, I'm keeping my times. I'm reading the word. I am praying at a certain hour. I'm doing all those things. Let me help you to help us. There are things we call principles in the realm of the Spirit. Let me show you one of them. Give, and it shall be. Somebody preaches me. Give, and it shall be. Okay. Blessed is the hand that. It's a principle. You don't need to be born again. You don't need to be a child of God. It's a principle. You can do it. Some people, they make a function. They call the poor and the needy and every kind of people that are disadvantaged, and they give them food and they come to God and say, you said I must take care of the poor. Now is my time. It's a principle. You don't have to be a child of God. So there are many people that you see and you say they are prospering, or they are with you in church. And you think they are prospering because they have a special seat, VIP, when it comes to God. No, they're just using principles. Am I saying they are wicked? No, they just don't have an intimate relationship with their Father. What did they do? They just got an insurance. Lord Jesus, I take you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Then they do nothing. All they do is learn principles. Have you ever heard of the book, The Secret? No? Yes? The Secret. What is in The Secret is to repeat one thing over and over and over and over. Principle. You speak it until you believe it. It's a principle. So many people are looking at situations and they're saying, I've done everything. I think God is not looking at me. There are two, if not three things that are working against you. One, there is a legalistic problem that you are facing. Meaning somebody in your bloodline before did something or made a vow with the devil, and then now the problem is not going away. It doesn't matter how many times we lay hands on you, you take communion, we deliver you, the problem doesn't go away. When you have this legalistic problem, you take care of it in the court of heaven. Because it's now a legal matter. You are litigating and mitigating the problem. Tongues won't solve it. It will numb it, but won't solve it. Everything that you can do in a Christian way won't solve it until you go to the righteous Father who is God in heaven and say, I have a legal matter. This is the place where Jesus and the Holy Spirit is called the advocate. Are we learning something? So if you notice a problem in your family that is cyclical, keeps on happening, or the problem has time, you know, Satan keeps time. We Christians, we don't keep time. If you see the problem happening every June, you have this problem, even prepared for it, you buy this medicine, they already know you at the pharmacy. This one, yeah, no, when it's this time, we know we're going to get 2,000 rands from them because they buy every medicine. Your problem is legalistic. Satan has a legal, you violated law somewhere. Now you are arrested somewhere. I can't go deep into that one, but please, check. Know your family from the spirit realm, not from the physical level. You can see somebody grew old until they are 100 years. But after they died or passed away, everyone in the family is dying at 40, 50. It's a legal matter. That person might have made a covenant with Satan to say, I want to live long. So give me all the riches so that I can enjoy them. That's why when they die, those riches cannot repeat themselves. They need somebody else to make a new vow with the enemy again. Legalistic. Two, altar. Somebody builds an altar in the family that is now speaking to the bloodline. So whatever word that he said or she said, it remains on the altar and it must be activated every time until somebody speaks against that altar. Until somebody with authority of the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit speaks against that altar to come down. So if your altar is not speaking for you at home, our war is not physical, it's a spiritual warfare. It's altar against altar. It's the gates that we are contending for. So our families are not supposed to be better than the other family. They are just supposed to be holy for the Lord. So bring your matter into the court of heaven. I know Pastor Zag knows very well about the courts of heaven. I pray that God will put the spirit and anointing on him, that he may teach here and we understand how to get to the court of heaven and obtain a decree from the Lord that we will come and use on earth against words that were said. Remember, words are eternal. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever your word is settled in heaven, O Lord. So if somebody says something, spirit, life and death comes from the mouth. When you speak those words, if no one is able to pick them in the realm of the spirit, they remain. So we are not blessed because we want to be. We are blessed because the Lord said, I'll bless those who bless you. So they've opened the mouth gate to speak into your life. So the opposite can be said. So when you come to God, come in unity. When you're contending for something on that altar, come in unity. If one is not at home, call. When is that time to come in unity? Don't let the moment pass and say they are busy. If you are busy at that time, tell the Lord, can we please change the time? Because God deals with appointments. You can't just peace and say, I'm here. You must make an appointment. He is a king. I'm sure you can tell, like I said, this subject is big. So what do we walk away with today? Let's have consistency with the Lord. At least let's try. Because Satan is going to fight it. That's why even if I ask you now to sit for 10 seconds and don't say anything, by the second, you'll be thinking, hey, my oxtail there at home. And at any time if you find yourself praying and you start thinking about what you are going to do when you are done praying, you must know your ear gate is open to Satan. Shut him up. Shut the distraction off. They will affect your family. It first starts with an individual and it flows into a family. So once you get the individual, please listen to the individual message. Once you get the individual right, it's easy to get the family right. Because you'll be knowing that God wants to set us free. It's not a principle, it's a promise. Amen.